Hello, my name's Simon Sansom, and welcome to Wild Disabled. Today, I have the stand-up comedian, Super Supremo, Rosie Jones.
Hello!
Hello, how are you today?
I'm very, very well. How are you?
I'm very well. We're in central London today doing this recording.
Yeah.
So we're at the Hospital Club in Covent Garden.
Yeah.
And we're on the roof terrace, because it's the quietest place we could find. So if you hear some workmen below us, you know the reason why. Let's start off with your disability.
Yeah.
You have cerebral palsy.
I do, yeah, but I got a tactic cerebral palsy, and I got to say that because it's a rare kind.
Okay.
So I'm a pretty big deal.
You like showing it off, do you?
Yeah, I'm one of the extra special ones.
What happened at birth with the cerebral palsy?
What happened was when I was coming out, my shoulder got stuck.
Okay.
But it was the 80s and I was wearing shoulder pads. Then so that meant that I didn't breathe for 15 minutes.
Those damn 80 shoulder pads.
Yeah. So 15 minutes is a long time not to breathe.
Okay, well, that's had an impact on your manoeuvrability and your body functions.
So, because I got a tactic CP, that means I've got low muscle tone. So my muscles are very floppy. So I'm like,
that's a way. You walk floppy.
Yeah, I'm like a walking ragdoll. Whereas most people with CP, they have spastic cerebral palsy. We're not allowed to say that.
No, you're not allowed to say spastic anymore, are you?
No, but actually, it is a medical term to describe someone who has a high muscle tone. So that's a complete opposite of me. So really, I couldn't be further away from a spastic.
It's like every time you say the word spastic, it's like you shouldn't be saying it.
Yeah.
But you said it's a proper medical term.
Yeah, it's just annoying able-bodied people talk it and try to use it as an insult. It's not.
The reason Awfully Full Wild Disabled is to highlight issues and talk about things that you wouldn't normally talk about.
Yeah.
So now, I've seen you walk, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. You walk like you're drunk.
You
look like you're hammered, you've had a long night out, and either you've got a really bad hangover, or you look like you're going to die and fall onto the floor.
To be fair, it is 10 a.m, so I am drunk.
So, does it actually physically hurt? Are you actually in any pain?
No, I think I am so lucky because a lot of people with CP are in pain, but I'm not at all, and it's because my problem is my muscles are so relaxed. They're like chilling out all the time, so that isn't painful at all. And I can't explain it to anyone else, but for me, in my head, I know I'm in control.
Yes.
So although I look like I'm about to fall over, I'm not, because and don't know exactly how to leave my body. Mm. So to me, it's quite fluid, and it's only when I glance at myself in a mirror or in a shop window, I'm like, oh bloody hell, I look like I'm about to fall over. But in my head, all I see is walking, and I don't know,
so
weird.
Your mind works absolutely fine, your body's just a little bit slow.
Yeah.
That's basically
I
how it is.
I can do everything.
Yeah.
Everything just a little bit slower.
Yeah. And that's because obviously the connection between the brain and the muscles is deteriorated.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I would like to point out you do use your disability to your advantage.
Oh, yeah.
This is a quote from you. I got this off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it says, actually, on purpose, dribble when you're on the bus so people will give you a seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I just think some people think having a disability is a disadvantage. Mm. It's not, it's brilliant, and why shouldn't I move it a little?
Because you do break down the barriers. You take the persona of disability and just throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Because for those who watch a celebrity roast,
yeah,
you took on Alex Brooker.
Yeah.
And, you know, you called Alex Brooker Crab Boy because he's got the thing.
Yeah, because it looks like a crab.
And then he said to you, you know, to stop ejaculation, I think about you.
Yeah.
You know,
which is untrue.
It's just, it's the whole idea of persona. It just breaks down the barrier of people with disabilities who think that people are vulnerable, that think they can't do things. And here you are, Alex as well, and you're saying, fuck everyone else and just get on with it and just taking the piss out of everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think that's the biggest, like, misjudgment that disabled people get. They think they're very serious and victims, and I had just never felt like a victim.
No.
And I'm just me, and if I want to make fun of myself, I will.
And why not?
Yeah.
I'll take the fun out of you.
Oh, yeah. Life.
We were walking down the corridor and I said, you look pissed.
Yeah. I do.
Why do you think it's for people without disabilities to talk to people with disabilities?
I think it's because they're scared of that unknown.
About what to say and how to approach it.
It's a bit of an alien thing for them. Mm. So that it comes from a good place because I don't want to offend people. And really, to that I say, just use your common sense. Like, don't walk up to a disabled person you don't know and say, hey up, you retard. That's not okay, you know. Do not think I'm so comfortable.
Yeah.
And gonna just insult all disabled people. But then again, don't feel like you can't ask questions. You know what I say? I say, able-bodied people should watch children. watch how children react to disability and certain situations, because I've had 4 5-year-old children coming up to me going, "Hello, what's wrong with your legs?" Or, "Hello, why do you talk funny?" And you can see their parents are absolutely mortified. But no, they've seen me. They haven't seen or heard anyone like me before.
And it's the only way children learn about it, is if they do ask questions.
Yeah.
So when people ask me what am I doing in my scooter, it's usually young children, I'll happily explain it.
And that's the thing, if you're unsure, if you don't know what to say, or if you don't know whether or not they need help, just
Right, so clearly you can stand up for yourself.
Yes.
Okay, we know that.
Yes.
Okay, what was it like standing up for yourself at school?
Annoyingly, I want to give you, like, a big sob story, but school for me was brilliant.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. And I do think I went to school at the perfect time because it was the early 90s, so they were getting rid of disabled schools.
Yeah.
So I was one of the first people to go to a mainstream school, but then because it was a Labour government, they had a lot of money to use on disabled people, so I actually was lucky enough to have a TA with me all the time throughout primary school, and she was brilliant. She was my best friend. And to the other kids, I wasn't really disabled. I was Rosie.
Okay.
And I think I've always used comedy to my advantage.
Do you think that's where you got your confidence from? Because you are a very confident person.
Yeah, I think so. And I bet you talked about it before, but I do think there's a big difference between disabled people who were born disabled and disabled people who become disabled.
There is a big difference because I'm the latter.
But because I was born disabled, I've never known any difference. So I've never felt nervous about what I can and cannot do, and I've never felt upset about missing out. I explain it by saying, what if you said to an able-bodied person, "You can't fly. How do you get anywhere without flying? What do you miss having wings?" And it's like, no, because even known how to fly. Mm. So why would they walk around their world thinking, oh, well, it would be much better if I had wings?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't miss something that I never had.
Mm.
And I've always been confident about who I am.
Mm.
And that comes from my mum and dad, really, who brought me up. And that they never said that I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I've always been determined. I've always been a stubborn little bugger. And my mum and dad, when I praise them on their parenting, they said, no, all we did was say yes to you. It was you who said, I want to move away. It was you who said, I want to move to London. All we had to do was swallow all our worry and go, okay, if you want to do that, you do that.
So, you know when people do come up to you and ask you what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Do you actually explain what cerebral palsy is, or just say it's brain damage now? Because obviously a lot of people don't know that cerebral palsy is brain damage.
Yeah.
Or do you say something really sarcastically, something funny, saying, yeah, I'm absolutely pissed?
Well, I think it depends who it is. So if it's a child, I'll explain it simply. If it's a drunk idiot being a bit patronising, I'll probably give them a sarcastic answer. But I've had it, it's funny, I've had it a few times with people that I've been friends with for years, and they've only just plucked up the courage to go, what's going on?
I've got family and friends who still don't know that I've got spinal damage.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, they just think either I'm fat or I'm overweight or I'm lazy,
yeah,
rather than I can't actually feel my feet or legs.
Yeah. Those conversations are my favourite because I then go into detail and I say it's brain damage caused by lack of oxygen during birth that made the part of my brain die.
Yeah.
They're good, but it's usually during a drunken night where a very good friend has gone, so tell me everything, because even my friends who I've known for years, who are very intelligent people, they don't know.
You can Google you.
Yeah.
You're on Wikipedia and it tells you what's wrong with you.
But I got friends. I have one friend who said to me, so talk me through your drug regime. And I was like, well, weed in the morning, coke at night, what do you mean? And she said, well, how many drugs do you take to help stimulate them much harder. And I went, none. Like, she thought I would had to take pills and medication to help me. And she had no idea that I don't. And a biggest misconception is also, will your children have cerebral palsy? No! Well, they might, but that would be a big coincidence. Yeah.
Let's move on to your career.
Yeah.
Because you are doing phenomenally well at the moment.
Yeah, it's a bit funny.
Yeah, because you are world famous now.
Am I?
You are. The reason I know this is because me and my wife were sitting in a Chinese restaurant in Boston.
Nice.
In America. I'll say Boston because there is a Boston in Lincolnshire. And we're sitting in Chinatown and we went to this completely random Chinese restaurant and we're talking about the podcast, While Disabled, and who we're interviewing.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about what questions we're going to ask, just planning it and so on and so forth. And the couple next to us went, are you talking about Rosie Jones, the comedian, who waves her arms around? Yeah.
No.
So yeah, it was that clip. There's a clip on YouTube where you explain how difficult it is for you to say cerebral palsy because it's got five syllables, and why it's really annoying that people who are blind and deaf get one syllable.
Oh, no way. I can't believe that clip. It's gone a bit, man.
It's gone crazy. I mean, Jimmy Carr's going over there in a few weeks' time. He's doing the Bosch Centre. And what I noticed very quickly, that watching TV and watching the mainstream media over there, there is nobody with disabilities on TV on show, stand-up comedians in America with disabilities. So you are a notoriety over there.
Yeah.
You know, taking the piss out of your disability, they're not used to it.
No.
Where here we see you each week on TV.
Yeah. Well, I think the UK should be better. There's not nearly as many disabled people on TV than there should be. But actually, at least we're getting there.
It's starting to change, isn't it, slightly?
It's a lot better than America, where they kind of hide them away. Mm. So my plan is to break the UK.
I think you kind of done that.
And then pop to America.
Yeah.
And now just
the world.
Blow their minds.
Why not? You've performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I have.
What was that like?
So great. I took my first hour there this year. And I had the best time of my life, but at the same time, the worst time of my life, because the listeners are probably thinking, what is she moaning about? All she had to do was work for an hour a day. But it takes so much out of you to constantly perform for a whole hour and make sure that every show you give it your all and you don't get ill and, oh my God, the bloody cobbles everywhere.
Yeah, and before I was disabled, me and my wife went up to Edinburgh for an anniversary, and we flew up there, and you didn't notice it at all.
No.
And then we went up there again, a couple of years later after I was disabled, and I got my scooter.
Yeah.
Going on the cobbles is like getting a back massage from Satan.
Yeah, so it was amazing. But, exhausting. And then you Because you get reviewers in and you get compared to people.
Yeah.
So,
but you also have a good time, let's face it, because I'm guessing you get unlimited drinks while you're there. And a lot of your comedy mates are up there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I did drink my fair share of Edinburgh gin. So that was great.
So what's up for you next? What are you doing now?
So I'm mainly writing now. So I'm writing on two sitcoms and I'm gigging a lot. I'm probably gigging about 5 times a week. And it sounds ridiculous because we're recording this in November, but I am thinking about Edinburgh next year.
Yeah.
Because it takes a long time to like writing
now. Oh, I can believe it, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. For people who listen to Wild Disabled, we have a couple of sections.
Great.
Okay, which are things that you should not say to a person with disabilities.
Yeah.
Okay. And this gets we've had different reactions from different people.
Really?
So for example, I was interviewing Dan White. His daughter has got a spina bifida.
Yeah.
And people say, "Oh dear, are you okay? You know, oh I feel sorry for you. You know, or you're so brave."
Yeah.
And the best line I ever heard she's come out with, I haven't heard this, this is what Dan repeated to me, is she repeats it now to everyone. He says, "Oh dear, I feel sorry for you." She goes, "Well, I wasn't in a war."
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. It's like telling them to, you know. Yeah. So I want to see people who have come and said this to you. So this is what not to say to a person with cerebral palsy.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll pray for you.
Oh my God, yeah. Too many times. I had a moment a few months ago, and as you gave us permission to pray for you. And I just found me, and I went, "No." And they said to me, can I ask why you won't let us?" I went, "Because I don't want it to work, because I like how I am."
Brilliant, brilliant.
Imagine if it I won't.
You'd be less employable. You've got a uniqueness at the moment.
Oh, bugger, that's my whole career ruined.
Okay. Second one is where's your carer?
Yes.
That's I get that one quite a lot.
Times.
Yeah.
Oh, I also get, "Are you lost? Can I help you find your
car?" Oh, I know. On the way here this morning, I got stopped saying, "Are you okay? Do you need assistance getting anywhere?"
No.
I'm going down the street in my scooter and they stood out in front of me and said, "Can we give you assistance?" I went, "What with? Do you want to take me to the toilet?
No.
I mean, what do you want to help me with?"
Yeah.
Anyway, dear.
I know it comes from a great place. But I'm annoyed when I get stopped. Because when I'm on my own, I get into a rhythm of how I walk.
Yeah.
And if I'm stopped, it takes me so long to get back into that rhythm.
Mm.
I might pray, God, you've added 10 more minutes.
The next one is have you been asked, can you have sex?
Yes. So, many
times. Is it when people come and chat to you or try and chat you up, they're thinking, do I need to chat you up? Am I going to get lucky tonight? Or do I actually have to ask you if you can have sex or not?
Yeah, I've had that, but I've also had it a lot from friends or I want to say, why are you asking me? We're not ever going to shout, so why do you need to know?
Yeah. Often we've talked about this one before, is it, are you pissed? That's, I'm guessing you get on a daily basis. Because, I mean, if you're walking down the street, you do look like an alcoholic. If you had a bottle of wine in your hand, you'd probably be arrested.
Yeah, and I normally do, to be fair. That's fine, but what annoys me more is people talking about and pointing and going, oh, she's pissed. Mm-hmm. Even if I was pissed, I'm not deaf. Like, don't point at me.
Here's another one for you. Is it contagious?
No, actually, I've never had that.
Okay.
But wouldn't answer them. I just cough all over them.
Yeah, see if they catch it or not.
Help.
You look like you need help with that.
Every time. All the time.
Or the other one is obviously you get this as well. Oh, poor you.
Yeah.
I mean, poor me what? You know.
More than that, I get, oh, bless you. Oh, poor you. No, I don't need you, simply. I'm actually probably a lot more successful than you.
You shove it in their face.
Actually, poor you.
Yeah. Let me help you with that. Is another
all
one you get
time.
All the time. Yeah, absolutely.
But
right.
Annoyingly, I get it from family members. I get it from my nana all the time. And it's like, nana, you've known me for 28 years. You know that I can cut up a
The next round, the final round, okay, is quick fire questions.
Great, now, I'm not very quick.
That's all right.
Is that all right?
So these are based around your personality from me doing research.
Great.
Because you've done a lot of TV shows.
Yeah.
You've worked on The Last Leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're writing something for Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've also done another Channel 4 show.
Yeah, out of 10 cats.
Ah, that was it. 8 out of 10 cats with Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
Josh Widdicombe,
yeah.
Alex Brooker, or Adam Hills? Who's your favourite?
Oh, you can't beat me, dude.
I bloody well can.
They're all great.
Come on, pick one.
Probably Josh.
Josh. Right, I'm going to send this to Alex. I'm going to send this to Alex and Adam, and they're going to hate you for it.
I'm only saying Josh because Alex is in my bad books because he insulted me on roast battle.
You understand the principle of celebrity roast battle, don't you?
Yeah, but he could have been a lot nicer, and he didn't.
You called him Crab Boy.
He's a walking waste of a pair of clapping tits. He's not a waste.
Yeah.
And Josh is lovely and funny. Mm-hmm. And they're all lovely.
Is he single, Josh?
No, he's getting married.
Oh, is he?
He's very excited.
Excellent. Are you going?
No, I
don't. You haven't been invited. Oh, you need to put in a word about that.
Boom.
Okay. Right, which one do you prefer, writing or stand-up?
Writing. I would always say that I'm a writer, comedian, and actor. Okay. In that order.
That's what I was going to ask next, is acting or standing up?
Oh, yeah. Stand up more than acting. Okay. But first and foremost, I'm a writer who performs.
Okay. Would you like to be fully abled, or do you... Because obviously you don't know any difference because you were born with it.
Yeah.
Would you like the experience of being fully abled,
no,
or do you like the way you are?
No.
You like the way you are, yeah.
I love who I am, and I think it's affected who I've grown into, and I don't really know who I will be if I wasn't.
Because it's your identity now, isn't it?
It's my identity, my brand, and I think I'll be out.
You think you're Nike?
Yeah. I'm basically...
Or Adidas all day, dream about sex.
Yeah, I'm basically a disabled Adidas.
Were you on the Shaw One Top 100 list?
No.
Why weren't you on the Shaw Top 100 list?
What is that?
Oh, it's like the most influential disabled people in Britain.
Why was I not on that?
Alex Brooker was number one.
That's 100 people more influential than me.
I know. And me.
Yeah.
I've got my own podcast.
Yeah.
I know. And you know what the worst thing is, don't you? The picture that he put up when that list came out, he sat in front of him with like 10 pints of beer.
Yeah.
I sent him a message on Twitter saying, how can you be the most influential disabled person in Britain when you're always legless?
Yeah, that's true. That's so true.
Who's your funniest comedian?
Oh, that's hard. I know a lot. And it changes every day. I think at the moment, my favourite is Kerry Godwin.
I'm guessing people will be Googling her once they hear this podcast.
Oh, they'll know her. She's quite me. She's my favourite British stand-up, and then my favourite all-time is a Canadian comedian called Tigna Tavis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Catherine Ryan.
No, have you heard of Tigna?
No, I haven't, no. Which is embarrassing, because I'm a Canadian citizen as well.
What are you doing? Get Googling.
Yeah.
She inspired me to start comedy, actually, because her style is so slow. She takes her time. And she's able-bodied, but it made me go, oh my God, she's adopted that as a style. It shouldn't matter that I speak slowly. I can use it to my advantage.
Favourite show?
Me on the spot.
Well, you've written a few, so.
Favourite show. I'd like to say the Royal Family.
The Royal Family.
I can watch that over and over again because it's so simple. And when it.
And accurate.
And so accurate. And when it came out, it just. Blew everyone's minds because I hadn't been anything like it before.
Favourite actor? And don't say yourself.
No, without a doubt, Tom Hanks. I love Tom Hanks.
Oh dear.
You
look like you got a little bit of drool coming outside of your mouth.
Yeah, I always. I love him on a psychopathic level.
Oh dear.
I've seen all of his films.
What, even the Polar Express?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a terrible film.
I Right, we're ending the podcast now. He's good to me. I've been in the same room as him twice. Mm. And both times I was shaking even more than I shake normally.
So even when you meet all the celebrities and you hang out with them, you still get a bit of celebrity nervousness?
Only with Tom.
Oh, okay.
Only with Matt and Tom. I could talk for a lot
I did notice.
Longer.
I know you can. You can talk forever. But I'm going to start with the next. People will turn off if it gets boring.
Yeah, shall we do another hour all about Tom Hanks?
I'm okay, thanks. You know, I don't really want to. Rosie Jones, you've been absolutely fantastic.
Thank you
very much.
So much.
This has been Wild Disabled. We'll be back in a week's time with another celebrity talking about disability. Thank you very much, Rosie Jones.
Thank you. Bye-bye.